Vrittasura story, part 13. So Indra was hearing Vrittasura's prayers to the Lord in the battlefield very attentively. And himself being a Vaishnava, how could he allow himself to kill a Mahavaishnava? And Vrittasura had no remembrance of him being in the middle of the battlefield. He was totally engrossed in remembering the Lord. He was directly talking to the Lord. So here, text number 27, the last of the four shlokas. So Vrittasura is saying, I will definitely have to take another birth in this material world because I have given pain, torture to so many living entities in this universe because of my demoniac body. So who knows which of the 8,400,000 species I will get my birth. But he is praying to the Lord that wherever I may have my next birth, I am begging you this at your lotus feet, that I will be allowed to live in the society of your servants, your devotees. He's saying uttam shloka janeshu sakhyam, that the jana of uttam shloka, that your janas, your devotees, that I could be in friendship with them. Actually, all the devotees in the of the Srimad Bhagavatam, whoever has prayed to the Supreme Lord for anything, they have all prayed for this one thing, that if I take another birth in this material world, I may please take my birth and where I can be in the association of your devotees and I can be in friendship with your servants, with your devotees. When one has the association of devotees, he has everything else. So he's praying, Hey Nath, those who sing your kirti, your glories, your yash, they're called the servants of the Uttama Shlokas. May I be in friendship with them. May I always have their association. And the attachment to the body which occurs due to your maya, to the body, to wife, to children and home, may that maya not be able to affect me. My attachment should be in your dasas, in your servants. That is my prayer, that my attachment in my next birth may not be in Atma Jadara Gehesh, not in myself, in my body, in my wife, home, etc. Devotees sometimes have this very deen feeling in their heart that with my sadhana, I will never be able to reach the Lord. And actually it is a fact. No person actually can get the Supreme Lord by his own endeavors of his sadhana. By doing sadhana is important because what happens when you do sadhana, the Lord becomes attracted. He sees how much trouble this living entity is taking for me. If it's a small baby, if a small baby wants to climb on his mother's lap by his own endeavor, he will not be able to do it. It's not possible. He does not even know how to walk, how to even sit up. And somebody tells him, now go and climb up on your mother's lap. How he can do? He is so helpless, just lying on his back, not even be able to turn over. But if the child starts crying, then the mother, she leaves all her work and she comes running to the child, and she takes care of the child. She nurses him, she picks him up in her lap, she dusts him, she strokes him, she gives him bath. So in the same way, when the Supreme Lord Krishna, he sees our sadhana, that for me, he is taking so much austerity, taking so much trouble, he is doing bhajan, then he gives mercy, and by his mercy he becomes available, gives himself to the devotee, by his mercy only. The jiva does not actually have the power to get the Supreme Lord himself. He has the power to attract the Lord. A baby does not have any other power, but the only power he has is that he can cry. In Sanskrit it's said, Bala nam ruditam balam. The bal of bala means a child, is ruditam, that he can cry. For a child and for women, what is their power? Is that they can start crying. By crying, they can get anything done. It is seen that if a wife, she wants something from her husband, and if she is in a very pitiful condition, if she cries from her heart, then her husband, he really tries to do something for her. He says, okay, don't cry, I'll try to do this for you. And if the baby cries, truly cries, then the mother knows, and she runs and picks him up and tries to give him what he needs. This is all we can do to get Krishna. What we can do is to cry. Cry means that we can chant. We can chant, do japa. Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare. So in this human form of life, the greatest fortune a living entity has is that when he can live in the association of devotees. To live in the association of devotees and engaged in hearing, chanting, bhajan is the greatest fortune. In this way, Vritasura is praying to the Lord. And he wants to give up this body. After this, the chapter that begins is chapter 12. The first shloka in the 12th chapter, Vritasura's glorious death, begins with Sukadev is saying to Parikshit Maharaj, evam jiha sur nripa deha majo. Sukadev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj that in this way, this Vritasura was very eager to give up his body in the battlefield. When he saw that Indra was not willing to kill him, then he started to threaten Indra to kill him. So he picked up his trident and he started moving towards Indra to kill him, to arouse Indra to protect himself, try to kill him by protecting himself. So when Vritasura, he threw his trident, he whirled his trident, and it had points like the flames of blazing fire at the end of millennium. He threw it with great force at Indra, And he said, "You papi, you sinful, I'll kill you today." And in this way, Vidasura's trident was flying through the sky like a brilliant meteor. And then Indra was very afraid, so he cut it to pieces with his thunderbolt weapon. And at the same time, he cut off one of Vidasura's arms, his right arm, which was as thick as the body of Vasuki. So, although one of his arms was severed from his body, Vidasura very angrily approached King Indra and struck him on the jaw with an iron mace, and he also struck the elephant. And in this way, Indra dropped the thunderbolt Vajra from his hand. Now Indra was very embarrassed, and he could not pick up his Vajra. If we have one thorn pricking our arm, we cannot do anything. And his one whole arm is cut off. There was like a river of blood flowing. And from up high in the sky, the demigods, demons, all the different living entities, Charanas, Siddhas, they were all saying, "Jai, Jai, Vritasura," and they were praising his deeds. And but when they saw that Indra was in great danger, they said, "Alas, alas." Although Vritasura was the enemy, but because he was so brave, everyone was glorifying him. And again, when Vritasura saw that Indra was not picking up his Vajra, he was scared. Then he said, "Come on, come on, why are you so scared? Pick up your Vajra, pick up your thunderbolt, kill me, come on, kill me." And he was again preaching to Indra. He said, "Look, there's only one person that is always guaranteed to be victorious, and that is Lord Vishnu. He is the supreme original enjoyer. He is the supreme Lord Bhagavan. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, annihilation. He knows everything, and he is the only person who is always victorious. And apart from him, nobody can be always victorious. Sometimes when we're fighting, sometimes I'll be victorious, sometimes you'll be victorious. In a way, you've defeated me because my arm has been cut off. But I'm still trying to kill you, still trying to take away your life. But everything happens by the desire of Lord Vishnu." He's giving class to Indra. So tomorrow we will go through the teachings of Vitrasu. So again he's speaking on Krishna Katha. His arm is cut, blood is flowing like river, but he's speaking Krishna Katha on the battlefield once again. He's speaking Vishuddha Katha about the Supreme Lord. When he's saying that there is only one Purusha, only one person who can always be victorious, that is Lord Vishnu. So you don't worry, you pick up your Vajra and you throw it at me. Nobody knows what will happen. You have dropped your thunderbolt, so what? Just pick it up. Again and again he was inciting Indra to pick up his thunderbolt and kill him. So in the end, Indra picks up his thunderbolt weapon and cuts his other arm off too. So now he has both his arms cut off. Even after both his arms are cut off, he opened his mouth, huge, like from here, ground to the sky. He put one bottom lip on the ground, and the top lip he opened huge up to the sky, and he swallowed Indra up with his elephant. Even after both his arms were cut off, because he had a lot of practice with the Narayan Kavach. I mean, King Indra had practice of Narayan Kavach. So even though Vitasur, he swallowed him, with the elephant, Indra did not die because he had practice of chanting the Narayan Kavach. He made himself so small and he went inside Vritasura's stomach. He did not die. Vritasura actually did not grind him up with his teeth. He just swallowed him up. So Bhagavan Indra with his Vajra, thunderbolt, he cut his stomach open with that weapon and he came out with his elephant. And in the end he cut his Vritasura's head off with the Vajra. And to cut his head off, slice it off, it took him 1 year with the help of that thunderbolt weapon. That's when this Vajra, his weapon, was cutting with huge speed from all directions. It was very, very powerful. It took two ayans. Two ayan means Dakshinayan and Uttarayan and Dakshinayan. Dakshinayan is when the sun is in the south and Uttarayan is when the sun is in the north. So it took him 1 whole year to cut the head off his body with the Vajra weapon. It fell off after 1 whole year. So day after tomorrow will be the death of Vritasura, and tomorrow will be the story of the fight, the battle. Text 1, Chapter 12, Vritasura's Glorious Death. Here, Suta Goswami is addressing Sukadev Goswami as Rishi. He says, Rishi Uvacha. Sometimes he says, Badaraini Uvacha, Sukadev Uvacha. Here he is calling him Rishi Uvacha. Rishi. Rishi means one who knows all the Veda mantras and one who knows the past, present and future. And Sukadev Goswami knows everything and he is very expert at expressing it. Because of this, Suta Goswami here is calling him Rishi. Here Rishi Sukadev is saying that Vijaya Nyamanaha Mrityum Varam, that instead of considering Vijay, victory, to be the best, Vritasura is considering death to be the best for him. He was fighting in the battle, but he did not want to win the battle. Vijaya Mrityum Varam Manyamanah. More than Vijaya, he wanted, instead of Vijaya, he wanted Mrityum. Mrityum Varam. He considered death in that battle to be highest. To be very superior. And that's why he wanted that Indra should kill him. Why he considered death to be stretched, to be the topmost? Because he wanted to give up his body. That is why he was praying in this way to the Supreme Lord. So then he realized that unless I incite Indra and try to attack him, Indra will not get angry and try to attack him back. Unless Indra gets angry, how will he attack me? First he was pleading him, please, please throw your thunderbolt. Then he realized this is not going to work. Then he said, by begging like this, Indra is not going to give him death. Make Indra angry. For this, he decided to move along and try to kill Indra. Even he said this much in verse number 2. Hatosi papeti rusha jagad. O sinful one, you just consider yourself dead. Now you are really dead. So how was his shul, his trident? Here is in the second verse it is said. So Indra, the Pritasur became very angry. Why he's not killing him? So I'll kill him. Thinking this, he took his trident in his hand and he attacked Indra. And he threw it on Mahendra. Here in this verse, Sukadev Goswami is calling Indra Surendra and he is calling Vitasur Asurendra. So he was the leader of the Asuras, so he was called Asura Indra. And Indra was the leader of the demigod, so he was called Surendra. Here Vitasur is not called Asurendra on account of his gunas. He is called Asur Indra, leader of the demons, on the account of his birth in demoniac family. Just like Prahlad Maharaj is sometimes called Asur. But we should not think that he has qualities of Asur, that's why he's called Asur, no. Sometimes their birth is considered and that's why they're called Asura. So Vritasur attacked Lord Indra in this way. Vinadya Mahendraya Shulam Chidra. He did not call him sinful one. He called him, O personification of sin. Today, now you are dead. You are not to escape in this way. That brave Vitasur threw his trident at Indra. Lord Indra here is called Mahendra. Sometimes he's called Indra and sometimes he's called Maha Indra. So this shows that there must be other Indras, but this one is Maha Indra. The King of the heavens, saying, Are Pap from Hata Asi, O personification of sin, now you are dead. Sukadev Goswami in this verse calls Vitasur Veera, that he is the brave one called Indra in this way. What did that trident look like? It says, Tato Yugantak. With fire, just like there is fire at the end of the millennium, at the time of annihilation. Kathor, kathor jiva. Kathor means very tough, and jiva means the tongue, the top part of the his trident was like the tongues, burning, giving out so much fire. This kind of burning trident, he says ma avidya. He was whirling it, and then he shot it. Lord Indra saw it. He saw that this trident of this kind of fire, he's shooting at me, but he did not become, but he did not lose his control. Text 3. His trident was flying through the sky, and it looked like at the time of annihilation, a very brilliant meteor was flying. The fire was flying out of the trident. It is said, dush prekshyam, that it was impossible to lift your eyes and look upon that blazing weapon. But after seeing that, Indra niriksha ajata viklava, means ajata viklava means was not afraid. Even though it was unbearable to see, Indra was not afraid. Why? Because he had Vajra in his hand. He knew that this Vajra had the blessings of Lord Vishnu and the power of the Dichi Muni's bones. So, therefore, Indra was not afraid. This Vajra had, it said Vajrena Vajri, that the had like a saw, like the edge of a saw, 100 teeth, and it said here, Chinad. He cut to pieces Vittasura's thunderbolt. He had just let go of the trident, and as soon as he had let go of the trident, the thunderbolt came and broke his trident into pieces, and at the same time it cut off Vittasura's one of his arms. With great force, his arm fell like a big, huge mountain. It fell on the ground. Just as you might have seen from the mountains, the water gushes out in the form of a river. In the same way, blood was just gushing out, just like a red river. He had such a huge arm. His arm was very powerful. The Vajra broke his Trishul, his trident, and Bhujam cha, also his Bhuja. Bhuja means arm. Like Urag Raj Bhogam. Urag Raj is called Vasuki. Rag Raj. Urag Raj. The great serpent Vasuki. Vasuki is very long, and his body is very round and fat. Therefore, Sukadev Goswami is giving the example of that his arm, bhujam, bhujam cha, tasya, his bhuja and his arm, urag bhogam. Urag Raj Bhogam. Urag means serpent, and Raj means the king of the serpent, and Bhogam means his body. So the body of the king of the serpent is the body of Vasuki. And here the Sukadeva Goswami compares the arm, the cut-off arm of Vitasura that looked just like Vasuki, Vasuki's body. Vasuki is a very huge serpent, king of the serpents. So the trident and his arm both got cut off. Here Sukadeva is describing it very nicely. He's saying, Vajrena Vajri, Chatparvana. That Vajri is Indra, the holder of thunderbolt, and Vajra is the thunderbolt. So here, Vajri, Indra, he's holding the thunderbolt which had 100 joints, like the saw, like the edges of the thunderbolt. It had 100 little teeth. Big teeth. This is the third verse in 12th chapter. Vajri with his vajra cut the arm with the trident off. This is the translation. Here Sukadeva Goswami called Indra Ajat Viklava. Ajat means Ajat means to take birth, and Viklava means fear. Ajat, he did not, he is saying, despite saying all this, within Indra's heart, Viklava, fear, did not take birth. A person actually, when he is doing some work, he should not become afraid. The Lord let him become successful. Text 4. So Indra was successful with his vajra. He was able to cut off the thunderbolt with his thunderbolt. Vitasu's arm and his trident. But Vitasu, very angrily, with his left hand, he was lying on the ground with one hand, arm bleeding. With the other hand, he picked up an iron mace and he struck Indra on the jaw. He also struck the elephant that carried Indra. This iron mace is called Parighena. In India, you might have seen iron mace. It's called Parighena. Although Indra had still vajra in his hand, it can be understood like this. Suppose somebody had a loaded rifle in his hand, and still somebody comes very close to him. In this way, Vitasur reached towards Indra. He wanted to leave his body. He was not afraid. Up till now, only one arm was cut off. Vitasura actually wanted that his neck gets cut off. Although one of his arms was severed from his body, still, with the other hand, he picked up with the left hand picked up an iron mace nearby, and he just approached very close to Indra and he struck the elephant that carried Indra. Why he was angry? He was angry because Indra was not killing him. That's why he was angry. Why he's not killing me? So he went close to Indra and hit the struck that iron mace on Indra's hanu. Hanu is the jaw. Jaw is called hanu. He hit Indra and after that Amarebham. His Aravat elephant also. With his left hand. With his left hand. He hit him so hard that Lord Indra dropped his vajra from his hand. Indra was carrying the vajra in his right hand, but with that blow on his chin, his whole body shook and his vajra fell off his hand onto the ground. This was a great incident. Amazing incident. That brave soldier whose one arm was cut off, he did not care even a little bit of the pain of his body. And with his left hand he hit Indra and dropped his vajra. This was an amazing incident, but in verse 5, Vitrasa Karma, the Mahadbhutam Tata. Text 5. When the vajra fell off Indra's hand, seeing this Vitasur's Maha Karma, Maha Adbhutam Karma, it is said in this verse, Karma Ti Maha Adbhutam Tat. After seeing this Maha Adbhut Karma, the demigods in the heavens and the demons also, Charna Siddhas, they all saying, Jai Jai, Jai Vitasur, Jai Vitasur. Even the demigods who are on the side, who are in opposition to Vitasura, they started saying, Jai, Jai Vitasura, Jai. Sometimes the brave soldiers, even they are on the other side, they are so brave that they are glorified even by the enemies. Even though they were on the demigods were on Indra's side, but seeing this amazing feat of Vitasur, they kept on glorifying him. Jai 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 Vitasur. The person whose one arm is cut off, and he is so brave to walk in front of the other person, while he has a vajra in his hand, which is like a loaded gun pointed at him. To walk right up to his face and hit him on the jaw, it is really amazing. Adbhut karma. Sukadev Goswami says, Ati Maha Adbhutam. Adbhut means wonderful. Maha Adbhutam means greatly wonderful. And Ati Maha Adbhutam means this kind of wonderful we have never heard before. Ati Mahadbhutam here means surpassing all wonderful feats. Such a wonderful incident never has occurred in history before. Vitasur has surpassed everything. To attack Indra and to go so close to him and attack him and make the vajra fall off on the ground, it was considered Ati Maha Adbhutam Karam. That's why it is said Sura, Sura, Asura, Charana, Siddha Sangha. They were all glorifying him. Sadhu, sadhu, thank you, Vitasur. They were all glorifying and thanking Vitasur for this wonderful feat. Even today, sometimes there's sports shows And person who's winning, he's doing so wonderful that even people of the opposite sides, they're glorifying him. Wow, what a wonderful thing to do. That was a great shot. Some people are like that. They're nishpaksh. They're on nobody's side. Whoever wins, they're glorifying him. Sometimes if somebody belongs to one party and then the other person wins from the other party, sometimes they become a little morose. They become very sad. One time they were having a game with India and Pakistan, and that time I was in Banaras. Then Pakistan was on the winning side, they were winning. In Banaras is the main place of Lord Shiva. Some people used to come and offer water on Lord Shiva and pray to him. Please, the Lord Shiva, let India win. And after some time, we heard that India won. And they became very happy. But here, it is said that Vritasura was glorified even by his opponents. But when they realized that Indra was in great danger, they started lamenting, "Alas, alas, what will happen now? Now Indra is going to be killed, our king is going to be killed." Now if Indra remains there, then Vitasu will just pick up the mace and hit him on the head and kill him, because the Vajra was not in Indra's hand. They were all really firmly, they were convinced and that now Vitasu is going to finish Indra. Text 6. When the Vajra fell off from the hand of Indra, then Sukadeva Goswami says, Indro na Vajraham Jagrihe Vilajitam. He was very much ashamed. Such a great personality like Indra, who has done 100 Ashwamedha yagyas and fought so many battles, the king of the heavens, for him to be defeated in this way, and for him to have dropped the Vajra, he felt so ashamed that he did not pick up that Vajra again. He started worrying. Just see, he did not have that much strength after being hit with the mace on the head that he could hold on to his Vajra. Such a powerful weapon he had, he just couldn't even hold on to it. Vritasura was proving to be much more strong. Arm was cut off, so much pain there must have been. Still, he walked up and hit him. Went up very close to his face and hit him. Usually Indra would be shot at from quite a distance, but because Vritasura came so close and hit him, and that is why he was glorified so much. Why he wasn't picking it up? One reason was that he was terribly ashamed, and the second reason was, it says here, it fell right in front of the enemy, because right in front of his face was Vritasura, and it fell right in front of Vritasura, and then he was very ashamed to even bend down and pick up his weapon. Puna. Punaha means again, again Vritasura started to encourage him. It is said here, punaha vitro tamaha, means punaha means again, vitra, vitrasur, tamaha, started speaking to him. He is calling him Hara. He is saying, O Hare, O Indra, pick up your thunderbolt and shoot at your enemy. This is not time to lament. Don't be morose. This is not time to lament. This is the time for your victory. You will, the Lord is on your side, and wherever there is the Lord, that is where there will be victory, there will be wealth, and all the qualities are there. Again, pick up your vajra. So what if it fell down? Pick it up and shoot me. So Indra had not yet picked up his vajra. He is thinking, suppose, he is listening to Vritasura and he is thinking, suppose, text 7. Suppose Indra says that I am seeing my defeat is in front of me. Previously you hit me with my elephant with the mace, and now you, even though I cut off your arm, you hit me with the mace again, and I had dropped my vajra. It's obvious that I am going to be defeated. What to speak of being defeated? I can be killed by you now. So let's consider this battle. You shot at me, and what was the situation in the very beginning? The demons were fighting against you, so you cut off all their weapons, so you were victorious. And they ran away from the battle, so you, that time you were victorious, even though they were throwing mountains and trees, etc. So while you were just, and after that, let's consider the whole thing. After that, when you guys were trying to run after them, shoot them from behind, I shouted and roared, and all of your soldiers fell down on the ground and unconscious. So at that time, the victory was mine. You did not fall down, but everybody else fell down and was unconscious. Just see, first you were winning, and after that immediately I started to win. And then to stop me, you threw the mace at me. And with that mace, I hit your elephant. And immediately you were starting to be defeated. While you were being victorious, after that I was being victorious, after that you were being victorious, then I was victorious. Then I started to, when I started to attack you, you cut off my arm, so you were victorious. So now when I hit you with the mace on your forehead, then you dropped the thunderbolt, so I became victorious. I was victorious, and then you were victorious. In that way, we can see it is not certain that I will be victorious again. Man should endeavor. He should not be so concerned with victory or defeat. You just do your duty. Just pick up that thunderbolt of yours. Pick up your vajra and start doing your duty, which is to fight. Why do you worry who's going to win, who's going to lose? There is only one person in this creation, in this universe. He is Lord Vishnu, who is always victorious. He is never defeated. But for anyone else, there is no guarantee that he will always be victorious. Rather, those who fight with their weapons in the battle, only sometimes they are victorious. Not all the time they are victorious. This history tells us that the very great brave personalities came a time in their life also that they were defeated. Just like when we read the history of Hiranyakashipu, such a great victorious person he was. Demigods like Indra, they used to shiver just at hearing his name. But one day, the Supreme Lord Vishnu ripped open his stomach. He was defeated. And there were many other asuras like Ravan. Ravan was a great he was a great person, that he was in a way that he was always victorious. Because he stole Mother Sita, he was badly defeated. So always somebody should be victorious. It is not necessary. This is what Vritasura is trying to tell him. Just because on your jaw I hit you with a mace and the vajra fell off your hand, it doesn't mean the next time also I will be victorious. Let's see. Try and pick it up. Pick up your vajra and we will see who is victorious this time. Purusham, he means the supreme enjoyer, he is the bhokta. This is how Vritasura is glorifying the Supreme Lord Vishnu in the middle of a battle, this wonderful battle. And he is Sarvagya, he is Sanatan, Purusham, enjoyer, Sanatan, he is eternal, and he is Sarvagyam. He knows everything. One who knows everything, past, present and future, is called Sarvagya. And he is Adi. Adi means Anadi, original. He is given birth to every living entity. He is the original. And he has no Adi, means nobody has given birth to him. He is causeless, the Lord. Here, the meaning of Adi is Sripad